in the current environment, a lot of people are trying to decide, is private practice right for them? Well, tune in for this episode of PT Talker and hear what our expert this week has to say. You might be surprised. Stay tuned for the next episode of PT Talker.
This is PT Talker, presented by Advantage Medical. The aim of this podcast is to expose physical therapists to unique and innovative ideas to help grow their business. Each broadcast will introduce you to new concepts that will save you time, provide a better patient outcome, or lower your cost. And now, the host of PT Talker, Jeff Worrell.
We're here at the combined sections meeting of the American Physical Therapy Association in Chicago, Illinois, in the exhibit hall, having a great time. And joining me today is our expert who has some definite thoughts and opinions about being a private practitioner in our industry today, Lynn Steffes of Dr. Lynn Steffes. Welcome to the show today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Now, you are the owner of Steffes and Associates, a consulting firm that you've owned and operated now for 15 years, but you actually have been a practicing business owner, a physical therapist out in the field. You know what's going on. And I teased our audience here a little bit that you had some specific thoughts on whether or not to go into private practice. Why don't you share for the world, what's your opinion? Should we be going into private practice right now?
Well, first of all, I'll tell you that in addition to having a history of opening private practices in both Wisconsin and in Arizona years ago, I travel all over the country and work with about 50 to 100 private practices a year. So I get to see a lot of practices that are succeeding in this very challenging environment. I'm not saying that it's an easy time to open a private practice, but I am saying that it is still time to explore what it is that we can do. I think as long as physical therapists have value in the market and they recognize their value in the market, that private practice will have a place.
Yeah, and I want to share with our listeners that I attended your talk. You were actually a presenter here at the combined sections meeting. Huge. I mean, the turnout was huge. The room was packed, standing room only in the back. And you had a couple of messages. Number one, physical therapists need to own own what we do or what physical therapists do in this medical market, changing medical market. Why don't you share a little bit about that?
Well, first of all, physical therapists have tremendous value, and we don't often own or promote that. We don't recognize that in healthcare today, considering the fact that everyone's concerned about cost, everyone is concerned about our aging population, everyone is concerned about keeping people as active, independent, pain-free, off medication, independent in their homes as possible. And who's going to do that? I mean, that is the role of the physical therapist. And unfortunately, Medicare is putting a lot of pressure on primary care physicians to take that role to manage people and keep them more active, more independent, and healthier. And they're just not good at it. They don't have the time, nor do they have the propensity. PTs do. So we can actually step up and have kind of a primary care role. And certainly community-based private practices are awesome for that. We are located close to where people live and work and play. We have one-on-one relationships with our patients. We develop a loyalty with our patients and are able to motivate them and keep track of them, stay in touch with them, and really make a difference in their lives. And if we can communicate that, in particular to primary care physicians, that we are partners in that process, we're going to bring a lot of value.
Yeah. Now, I also heard you really drive home the point about better, faster, longer. The longer part really struck home with me because there are other ways to get better, and it might be fast, but longer was the key. Do you think therapists are thinking that way? Do you think that was resonating with your audience?
I think that we do it. A lot of us do it automatically. Better, faster. Everybody wants to get better, faster. But the healthcare system requires better, faster, longer. The consumer who's paying more out of pocket for healthcare also wants to be better, faster, and they want to stay better, longer. They want to manage their own care, and that's something we're awesome at. But we don't publicize that we are. We don't take that role. For example, one of the things that I instruct private practices that I work with youth to do is to behave kind of a lot more like a primary care, where when they're working with someone, they're working on education, they're working on home programs, and they're also automatically, as it gets close to the end of care, they're scheduling a follow-up appointment within 6 months. They're not saying, call us if you need something. They're scheduling a follow-up appointment. And what's happening is they're saying, you know, we're going to stay in touch with you. If you need anything, you call us. That doesn't happen in a hospital environment. And that's going to be of tremendous value to consumers, health plans, and primary care docs whose compensation are going to be affected by the ability to keep people better, faster, longer.
Now, how do you think therapists are out there all by themselves in maybe a rural community? How are they learning some of these things? How are they hearing about it? How does someone know to make that appointment 6 months from now unless someone like you comes and tells them? But what is there a vehicle to share that information?
I think, I work with a lot of practices in rural environments, and by the way, that's a great place to open a private practice. A lot of my rural clients are doing very well and are well-seated for the healthcare future. I think that those folks that stay engaged with the APTA, and in particular the private practice section, get those messages. I think they read about them, they hear about them, but we really need people to start. I think it's one thing to talk the talk, but you have to walk the walk and start changing your behavior.
And now you also serve on the board of the private practice section for the APTA. What are some of the other things? You mentioned some things, but what are some of the other things that you do to help people who might be considering opening up a private practice?
Our private practice section actually runs a course called How to Start a Private Practice. We have a manual that's actually in revision and should be done by the end of the year. We have mentors that are available through the section where you can work and network with other private practices. And then there are our annual conference has a lot of information. And there are a number of folks out there like myself who consult and work with people on startups. But networking is huge and connecting with other people who have done it and done it well.
Now, let's turn to the room. The room was packed, a lot of students, but there were a lot of people that raised their hand that said they were considering opening up a private practice. I've talked to some people in the hall that were in private practice and maybe, kidding, half kidding, but half serious, that it's tough out there right now. What are you telling people that are considering opening up a private practice? What's the bottom line message?
Number one message, relationships. No doubt about it. I think that if you are a person who has relationships in a community or an area that you're going to practice in, who's good at developing those relationships, I'm talking banking, accounting, physicians, you participate, perhaps your kids are in sports, all of those activities, those relationships where you are embedded in a community, really ripen you for private practice. I know that a lot of practitioners are nervous, and quite honestly, when I opened a practice 30 years ago, as long as you did a good job and you were a little bit nice, you were successful. Now, so I think a lot of practitioners that are in the field right now, they have a sense of change. But imagine those that choose to come in at a challenging time and make their way. You're going to be in such good shape because you are starting at a time that's challenging, and things are only going to improve, or at least in theory, I believe they will. But that's what I've seen, and I'm a big believer that there's an old adage that it is in times of depression and recession that millionaires are made.
I think you also said 10,000 new baby boomers are coming into or turning 65 every day.
Every day for the next 30 years, 10,000 baby boomers are turning 65 and will need our services. And if we can keep them active, if we can keep them independent, we stand to save the healthcare system a lot of money. And a number that I shared earlier was that if we can keep seniors in their homes and independent for one more year, that doesn't mean that we'll prevent everything, but in their home and independent one more year, we could save the healthcare system $26 billion a year. And we haven't even begun to do all the things that we can do to make that happen.
All right, now we just have a couple of minutes left. So to finish out, I thought maybe we might try and give our listeners some specifics, some basic things they might be able to do if they're thinking about coming into private practice. I know you had several slides to that effect.
Yeah, I actually have 7 slides, so I'll try to give you the Reader's Digest version of that. You know, first of all, if you're thinking about getting into private practice, wherever you're practicing, start to participate in management decisions. Expose yourself to budgeting, expose yourself to hiring, training, mentoring, expose yourself to marketing and PR, which is huge. In your community, start investing yourself in the community and getting out there so people know you. That's so huge and so important.
So get a mindset that you're not just treating patients. There's so much more to it.
Yeah, you're not going to flip a switch. You're not going to go from treating 24/7, then all of a sudden you're running a practice. You have to start evolving the way you behave and developing some of those skills.
All right, very good. You have been listening to Dr. Lynn Steffes. She is the owner of Steffes & Associates out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. She is a practice consultant in the world of physical therapy, member of the Private Practice Association Section Board of Directors, and a great speaker. You did just a fantastic job. I know I don't count, but the room exploded in applause at the end, so congratulations.
Thank you very much. They were a great group.
Yep. Okay, well, this is Jeff Worrell coming to you from the Combined Sections meeting at the American Physical Therapy Association. Had a great time. Lots going on. In my opinion, things are good in the world of physical therapy. 12,000 people, I don't know if you heard the number, 12,000 people at this convention, so I think that set a record. Remember to tell all of your peers and associates that PT Talker is free to sign up for and is available each and every week, where we bring you a expert in the world of physical therapy to hopefully help you help someone get better today. This is Jeff Worrell saying so long for now.
PT Talker is a presentation of Advantage Medical, bringing you business news and ideas for therapists. Join us each week for new concepts to help you grow your rehabilitation business. To listen to previous episodes, visit us on the web at pttalker.com or on iTunes.